If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Yeah, it seems to take forever, that game this afternoon, didn't it? It's almost 5 past 5. It is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Extra time here until 6 o'clock. If you're listening live, if you're listening on the podcast, up to whenever it finishes. Now let's head back to the LD Nutrition Stadium. Featherstone 18, Hull Kingston Rovers 30. Our full match commentary this afternoon. Rugby League Hall of Famer Gary Schofield is still alongside Mark Wilson, unless he's gone to get some more cups of tea. Mind you didn't have much luck getting cups of tea, did you, at halftime? Did you, or did you in the end? The concerning sound of silence there from the LD Nutrition Stadium. Mark, Scoey, can you hear me? We'll try and reconnect with them in a moment's time. Final scores from this afternoon's Rugby League. Featherstone 18, Hull Kingston Rovers 30. Halifax 0, Catalans 24. Lee 8, Widnes 24. And in the Championship Shield, it finished Batley 38, Dewsbury 0. Oldham 18, Toulouse 24. Rochdale 16, Swinton 8. Sheffield 18, Bradford 32. It's a good win for Bradford there, not that it's relevant. And well, we said it was a big score for Oldham at half-time when they led 10-8 against Toulouse, but having gone on to defeat there, and Rochdale winning against Swinton, two big results in terms of the relegation from the Championship. Oldham in the bottom two, of course, along with the Bradford Bulls. Level on points with Swinton, both on 14. Rochdale now with a three-point gap with that win today there on 17 points. Lose at the top on 38, Batley second on 31. Sheffield three defeats in a row, but third on 24. And Dewsbury are fourth on 22 points. In League One, no promotion yet for Toronto because Barrow beat Workington 36-14. Newcastle 34, Keighley 8, they're still playing. What about this one? York 21, Doncaster 21. And in the League One Shield, Crusaders 16, Coventry 22, Gloucestershire 12, Oxford 18, Hunslet 64, South Wales 7, London Scholars 42, Hemel 22. And yes, South Wales went for a drop goal when they were 40-odd 6 down. You can't understand sometimes the mentality of these rugby league players, can you? Let's head back to the LD Nutrition Stadium, where, fingers crossed, Mark Wilson and Gary Schofield are there.
Yeah, Gary Schofield just knocked us off air. I've given him a few jabs in the ribs. He's just been having a chat with a couple of Featherstone fans who are not happy with the officiating this afternoon. Look, you know, that isn't the reason that Featherstone lost here today. It was just a gulf in quality that really comes from the amount of money Hull Kingston Rovers are spending, a well-earned victory for them.
Yeah, now four wins from four now. They're in a very good position, as you say. They've still got the three more Super League teams to play, haven't they? Got to Widnes next Saturday, which should be a belter. Then Catalans at home before Warrington away. But I guess they'd be hoping that if they're going to go up automatically, they get it done before that trip to Warrington.
Well, they are guaranteed the £1 million game now, Hull Care. That's what they have done today. Is guarantee them themselves that, and they'll look at this going one out of three. You know, they could quite easily knock over a Widnes, so you know they've got the players to do it, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and as I say, they're all experienced Super League players as well. So yeah, they'll be looking to wrap it all up next week, won't they? Be a great atmosphere there at the is it the KC Lightstream? What are
the old
Craven Park? Anyway, Craven Park will do for me. Yes, so it'd be a great atmosphere from there. And well, the OKR fans, they've travelled here today. They reckon there might have been 2,200 people here this afternoon. They've enjoyed what they've seen, and plenty of noise here, Rich, to be honest with you. But that will be a cracking atmosphere next week at Craven Park, and they'll be looking to get themselves back in Super League after 80 minutes against Widnes.
What happens to a team like Featherstone? As we've seen in recent years, they've been there or thereabouts, haven't they, in terms of at the top of the Championship. But can they progress to be a Super League club, or will they be ever just at that top end of the Championship?
Well, Rich, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, the money, what you spend. But is there enough of quality players around? Is there enough there for, you know, for Featherstone to go buy these players? Is there enough for Halifax to buy a team of quality players? When you look at Okay, all the morning what Hull Kingston Rovers did last year, where, you know, saying, well, livelihoods there, people are going to lose their jobs. But they didn't, because they stayed a full-time a full-time team and they've spent the salary cut what they can spend from there. But it's just the situation in the game at this moment in time where there's not enough quality to go around. And I say that's what's beaten Feversham this afternoon. Hulk and Rovers have had more quality.
Do they beat Widnes next week? Obviously a big result for them today to win away at Lee. I think we all knew that would be a massive game between those two sides, but Widnes now have that 2-point gap between themselves and Catalans. Catalans with a win at Halifax, was expected, by 24 points to nil. So not a massive runaway victory, but Lee and Catalans at the moment are in that £10 million game position. Do either of them get out? Do Hull KR slip back in? No. Again, it's exciting. We've got lots of things to play for over the next few weeks. You know, London and Featherstone and Halifax still mathematically can make it in there. They probably won't, though. But there's still something to play for.
Well, there is. Plenty to play from there. But still, as I said to Mark in commentary, which I'm still not convinced with Hull KR, if I'm honest with him from there, but they may be thinking different from my point of view. Yeah, they've had the Super 8s here, yeah, they've had the nice kind of draw. Okay, they went to Lee and had a magnificent win there, a couple of weeks ago from there. But now this is going to be the test for them. Three Super League clubs, Widnes, they won't be intimidated going there next Saturday. Yeah, as I say, it'll be a great crowd. There'll be plenty of numbers from there. So, but at this moment in time, I'm still not convinced that Hull KR Rovers can knock off these three Super League sides. All right, is it Catalans?
They've got Widnes and Catalan at home.
Oh, they've got Catalans at home.
And then they go to Warrington on the final.
I thought they had to go to Catalan as well, to be honest. So Catalans, the way they're playing, yes, most certainly they could knock them off from there. But still, and I say the quality, what Catalans have got, what Widnes have got, and I'd say forget it, Warrington, they're already qualified. Don't worry about that from there. So it depends what sort of attitude Warrington will turn up with at the times when they've been these qualifiers. The attitude might not, hasn't been there, so Hull KR Rovers might catch him from there. But it's going to be testing times from there. But this is what they've been building for since they got relegated last year. This is what they've been building for. This is their moment. And I say the biggest moment's going to come next Saturday. Can they handle the pressure? The crowd's going to be magnificent. Everybody at the red and white part of the city will be expecting them to win. And next week they're hoping that they'll be celebrating going back into Super League.
And needless to say, Mark, of course, they won't want to be in that £1 million game at all because they'll remember the drama of last year. And to get up automatically, as they still can do, it's in their hands now, will certainly be the target.
Oh, of course it will. You know, they'll be eyeing up the next two. You know, they will fancy that they can beat one of Widnes and Catalans. I'm a firm believer in this qualifiers that the way the fixtures come out is a huge advantage to some teams and a huge disadvantage to others. You look at Catalan, who have, they've got Halifax today, which they've won quite easily, and they've got Featherstone at home next week. That's going to, you would think, put them on 6 points. And it means they go into the last two games with points on the board. If they were, you know, if they had going into the last two games needing 2 wins to even have a chance of getting in a £1 million game, I think just getting the points on the board nice and early is a big, big favour for the Catalan Dragons. I think the team that will be very worried now, the Lee Centurions, who defeated by Hull KR, got the season back on track by going to win at Catalan, but then thumped at home today by Widnes. They're in trouble now, and they got a Warrington next weekend, and they've got to beat Warrington. If they don't, you know, they're going to be in real danger. There's a big game. London have got Halifax next week. If they pick up 2 points, all of a sudden, they might be only a point behind Lee, who, you know, they've got they've still got to play on the final round. So there's so many ifs, buts, and maybes. This is not over yet, but I think I would be very surprised if Warrington and Hull KR are not already in Super League next season. Yes, they might need one more victory.
And it's been amazing, isn't it? London have only got 1 point in this series so far, but we're so close, obviously, yesterday against Warrington and in that first game against the Catalan Dragons. So it does show there are quality teams outside Super League, but it's just that little bit of class, a little bit of professionalism. That's the difference between the top end and the bottom end of one division and the other.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned that, and I say, well, two descriptions, quality and class, isn't it? And I could maybe say here that if the halfbacks from Hull KR Rovers were in Featherstone Rovers' side, and Featherstone Rovers could have won that because the difference was at times, you know, Jamie Ellis in the first half, he just, you know, knew that there was a weakness on the Featherstone left-hand side, and that's where they attacked. And and saying that in the second half, Nick Kinnean took the pressure off at times from Jamie Ellis, who was quiet in the second half there. So, yeah, it's all about that quality and class, but also, too, as well, just coming up with the right calls and the right decisions at important times of the game. And Featherstone didn't do that. They didn't do it enough. And a couple of times with Fakhri, just come up with the wrong options, and then a bit of indiscipline giving penalties away just took the pressure off.
And just a quick one there, Rich, you know, that result for London when they drew with Featherstone, I think they were 10 points up in the last 10 minutes. That could be the result that keeps them out of the £1 million game, because had they have won that game, they'd be 2 points behind the Dragons. They've got a better, I think, points difference. I'm sure they have, given the narrow defeats that they've had so far.
Yes, they have, yeah.
And that, you know, if they win next week against Halifax, which we would expect them to do, they would be potentially able to go above Leo Catalans, and that's how fine the margins are. And that might ultimately determine who goes where in the £1 million game, or who's in the £1 million game points difference. So every single play is crucial now at the end of the season. But you've got to be fair to Hull KR. They look as though they've got the job done. I think they'll inwardly be very pleased where they're at the moment, the shape they're in. Widnes, I think, will be happy, given that they've got three on the board. The teams for me that will be worried are Leo Catalans, and I'll say at least one of them will lose their Super League status.
I've got to see Scully's getting some stick on Twitter, which you won't have seen.
Good.
For tipping Lee. For tipping Lee, apparently, this week.
Well, so did that. In fact, I forgot to do my tips today.
Did you?
The media.
Oh, hold on. Hey, listen, is that from the Widnes fans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Typical. Yeah, typical of the Widnes fans. Yeah, they're always, when Widnes get a result or they play half decent, they all come out of the woodwork. Yeah, you Widnes fans, where are you every week? Where are you week in and week out? Yeah. Well, you're not consistent, are you Widnes fans?
Speaking of...
I'm not about the team. Yeah, the team aren't consistent neither, are they? But you Widnes fans, do me a favour.
Speaking of where are people week in, week out, was at the AJ Bell Stadium on Friday. Salford beaten by Wakefield, I think it's 7 or 8 defeats in a row now in all competitions. They didn't give out a crowd figure on the night. And I think, by the way, 4,500 there at Fev this afternoon, which is...
good effort.
Not
bad
at all,
effort.
Is it? But even when Salford were winning, they weren't getting a crowd. And now they're losing, they're not getting crowds. You must... Dr. Kukoc, you know he hasn't got any. He must be tearing his hair out. They've tried every single gimmick in the book, haven't they? And people don't want to go watch Salford. And it's a shame for him because, you know, you were there, Gary, and you heard Ian Watson's words after the game. He was calling out some of his players, not by name, but some of them aren't putting in the required effort.
Yeah, he questioned their desire, didn't he? And then I say, because I was reading today about, you know, looking at how the season's gone, and June time and early July time, Salford, they were second in the league, second in Super League from there. And as we all know, they made the Challenge Cup semi-final from there. But then just such as here now. So is that the coach's fault by not keeping his players motivated? Is that the coach's fault where the players themselves have allowed it in the dressing room, where they've gone into a mentality where, well, OK, then we feel as though we've done enough? That seemed to me what Ian Watson was saying about his players. Well, I don't blame the coach for that. That's the players as individuals and as a team collectively, you know. And how you get out of that? Well, and I say, from my point of view as a player, I never got myself with the suntan lotion and all this sort of thing, because at the end of the day, you knew exactly how many games you had to play. You always tried to give your best week in and week out. And the question what Ian Watson was asking to his players, the effort and commitment at times there when Richie was there, I don't think that was in question, but it was the desire and also to in the way at times that Wakefield was allowed to dictate that game. Take nothing away from Wakefield. Wakefield were absolutely outstanding on Friday night. But, I agree with Watson, with some of his players. They've got the suntan lotion on. They've had it since the semi-final defeat. What is it, 7 or 8 on the bounce now? And, at the end of the day, they can't change the season around. And the Salford players can't wait to finish the season and get themselves on the holidays, which, again, is... It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad for the coach here in Watson, also too in Marwen, because we all know that the hard work, what they've done, and they have played some very, very smart, attractive rugby league. They've been a pleasure to watch at times of Salford this year. And also, we found out Watson, that he came down to the sideline with 30 minutes to go in the second half. You don't normally find that from coaches, and the reason we found out was simple is that we're getting plenty of stick from the Salford support as well. I think you're being a bit harsh on Coach Watson there. He's done a great job at Salford with Willie Poach, and at the end of the day, it's the desire of the players, and he needs a reaction from his players. It's as simple as that, because he did question that, and he was saying, well, You know, there could be some players dropped, but the question is, who's going to get dropped because they don't have an academy or an A team, do they?
Well, I'm assuming there may have been times in your career, as you say, you wouldn't have done this, but there would have been players in the dressing room who may have given up. Surely the players themselves have to sort it out as well. The players can sort it out themselves, can't they? Who's not trying?
Yeah, absolutely. Richie, they've got to take responsibility, as I keep saying. You can't keep blaming coaches all the time. You know, the players themselves, as individuals and as a team collectively, they have got to take responsibility for their performances. And on Friday night, three players got the hook in the second half because they wasn't performing. And I think it was, I forgot the three names now. Anyway, the big guys, but the big man himself, I can't pronounce his name, but he's got the name Betty. Yeah, he's got the name Betty from me now, like Derek over at Huddersfield from there. But he had a shocker for mine. Absolute shocker, but he stayed on the pitch and he's getting selected for Salford because of his reputation. Well, you just get at times, you've just got to say to these players, well, if you're not performing, you're getting hooked off and somebody's going to take your place where they're going to perform and hopefully perform better than what you've done. And that seems to be the attitude for me at Salford in times where if you've got a reputation as an international player from there, it doesn't matter how good, bad and indifferent you play, you're going to get selected. And Watto, he's done a great job at Salford. Like him as a coach, like the way that he wants to play the game from there, like what he said certainly on Friday night, questioning his players' desire, and he doesn't deserve performances like that. Take nothing away, Wakefield were outstanding. Salford would have had to been at their very, very best to get anywhere near Wakefield on Friday night, but the players have got to take responsibility.
Stephen's asked a couple of questions about Wakefield. What do you feel about Liam Finn, one of the best goal kickers in Super League, for his consistency? I think he's on a ridiculous run of point-scoring games now. And what do you make of Tyler Randall's performance? His debut marks with a couple of tries.
Well, Liam Finn, everybody knows how I feel about him as a player. You know, as we all know, he's got the nickname The Slug from the Radio Yorkshire team. But between the ears, he's very, very quick. His game awareness is good. The combination with Jacob Miller is outstanding. The balance is there. And I say his tactical kicking is quality. His options is quality. His goal kicking is quality from there. Yeah. So I can't speak highly enough as a rugby player what Liam finished from there. And Tyler Randall, boy oh boy, isn't he some player? And I say the pace, what he showed, just to burn off them Salford backs with 30 metres out. The vision and awareness, what he played as well. His timing of his passes, his decision making was quality. The second try, what he scored as well, it was just taking the right option at the right time. I'll tell you what, Rich, this kid for mine, he's going to be a star at that Wakefield side. And when Kyle Wood gets back and all, what great options Chris Chester has got coming off the bench. But also as well, another thing, what Chester got right on Friday night, he started with England and Keegan Hurst. England and Keegan Hurst are not impact players. They are players who should be starting the game straight away because what they want to do, they want to go into contact. They want to make the hard yards for this Wakefield side, for Finney and for Jacob Miller, you know, to take control from there. And then after 25 minutes or so, yeah, bring Fafita on, bring Ubi on, because they want to play with the ball a little bit more. But now they have got to, England and Keegan Hurst have to start because they're not bench players. They don't make the sort of impact what Ubi and Fafita do from there. And he's getting the right balance, as Chris Chester. And I'll tell you, I know Wakefield have got pretty free games, pretty hard free games, as we know, with St. Helens, Hull and Wigan. But don't rule out Wakefield making the top four. The way they are playing, they won't be intimidated by anybody. And if Chester keeps this right balance going from there, boy oh boy, yeah, Wakefield can make the top four.
Keegan Hurst, I think, is desperate to score a try because he's still without one this season for Wakefield. Before I let you go, because obviously you didn't get any cake before the match, I know you'd both be hungry. Leeds and Hull all the way back on Thursday night. What was it like atmosphere-wise? Obviously, without the iconic South Stand, we're still all mourning that loss, everyone outside of Leeds. But was it a different kind of atmosphere there on Thursday night? Has it affected the players at all?
It was very flat, very quiet atmosphere indeed. Certainly, it took away that edge. You normally get a really good atmosphere at Headingley, especially on a night game, but it just wasn't there, to be honest. And, it just one of those games. You wonder if Hull had had a little bit more of a turnaround time, could they have got something else out of the game? But I thought Leeds did okay, actually, and deserved to win. But going there in the semi-final, which is looking like it's going to happen, is maybe not going to be the tough fixture that's been in recent times, Scotty.
Yeah, it is. And so, yeah, it was a little bit strange, but I tell you what, though, Matt, to be honest, when you look at the fixtures this week, what's coming up, Wakefield, St Helens, Wakefield in there, so they keep in the top four. Wigan go to Hull. You can't rule out Wigan, that is for sure. You can see the hunger, what they've got there, and the smile on Sean Wayne's face after the defeat of St Helens. I'm not so sure it was a smile just because they won the derby. It was because, yeah, this is what they want to be part of, the business end season from there. So if Wigan beat Hull, Hull go out of the top four. Hull go out of there now, so it's going to be very, very testing times from that. And Leeds, well, yeah, they got a Cass. Well, they may not win that game, but they know they've got Salford on the week. The top two is going to be Cass and Leeds, and then, well, the other two places, you can take your pick, can't you?
Well, I just look at it this way. This is a pivotal week. This is the decisive week, because if Wakefield beat Saints, they're not making the top four, Saints, for me. They've gone. If Wigan beat Hull, Hull will be out of the top four.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all on. You're right. It's a huge weekend, really is. I can't wait for it to unfold. And biggest game of the weekend, biggest game of the season at Bellevue on Thursday night.
Oh, it's we've had out, and I say, we've asked it a few times this year on Radio Yorkshire. You Wakefield fans, get yourself down there. Get down there. Your club can't do any more, as we keep saying about the great job Michael Carter's doing, the way that Chris Chester's getting the players playing, the way that the players are responding, and the attractive rugby league they're doing, the fourth in the thing. Get it packed. Get it jammed down there, and Wakefield will be looking for revenge, what St Helens did to them around about 4 or 5 weeks ago. So come on, Wakefield fans, get behind your club, because make it an atmosphere there that the players, you know, at times, if it's not going too well against St Helens, get behind them and give them that bit of a lift, because it will be revenge time. St Helens give them a bit of an idea, didn't they, 4 or 5 weeks ago from there now. So, yeah, make it a great atmosphere there on Thursday night.
And aren't we glad then, with how exciting the eights are this year, that we're keeping them for next year at the very least?
You can't just chop and change. And the eights will always have their problems. They will always have years where some teams can't win the competition. You can't keep catering to the lowest common denominator. It's up to the teams that aren't competing to get better. And it's up to the teams at the top to maintain those standards. So the qualifiers work. There's no doubt about that. The qualifiers work. They generate excitement. And people say, well, Halifax and Featherstone are never going to win enough games. Maybe that's the one thing you could look at changing. Maybe does it go down to six teams, for instance, and Featherstone and Halifax collect their money and allow them to build as a club. But that's what they're doing, these teams. They're getting the extra money. It allows them to build. It allows them to compete. And it allows them to carry on. And it works. It works for me. Keep it. Let's see. I think if I had one thing I could change, maybe the playoffs are good out of five, and maybe the three in the middle, just that'll be it, your season's ended.
Safe to say that here at Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire, we don't cater for the lowest common denominator. We leave that to other broadcast outlets. Scotty, what's in your column tomorrow?
Oh, just all about mainly the games, what have gone on, how Wakefield are doing, and I say a bit of comment about Macca's comment regarding, the messing around at the play of the ball from there. Last night's game between Warrington and London. So quite a variation tomorrow, Rich.
Oh, look forward to reading it. Gary, Mark, thank you very much indeed. And enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Will do. We're watching the ladies' game here. I tell you what, some of these tackles, I wouldn't want to be on the end of some of those. I'll tell you, excellent to watch. I'm not sure which two teams are playing, but boy, oh boy. Those forwards are getting stuck in. I tell you, I won't want to be having to face one of them too often.
See, and they're
showing plenty of pace and plenty of skill, aren't they?
Vision and awareness.
Oh yeah, plenty of vision. A bit now. Oh yeah, look, we are indeed. Vision and awareness.
Score in the corner. There you go. Look, no need for the video ref. The ref has given the try. So we're off and running. We're off to watch that.